You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 238. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I'm Michael Kaplan.
You can find me in Detroit, Michigan this weekend. Yes. July 9th and 10th. I will be in Ferndale, Michigan on July 9th. Detroit, Michigan, July 10th. Go to turnersparks.com. Get tickets to those shows. And then my tour throughout the United States will be September through December 2021. 13 straight weekends, Kaplan. And you can find us July 31st. We're doing this podcast live. We're doing a version of this live at Stand Up New York Comedy Club in New York City. It'll be us and everybody else from the World's Smartest Podcast Network. All the other shows are doing it together.
All the brains are getting them together for a night of comedy and education.
It'll be the education.
We're
going to
make
part.
Our dumb audience smarter. If you come, yes, you come sit in at Stand Up New York with us, we will make you smarter and we'll have a few laughs.
You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on all social media platforms. Cap, today on the podcast, we're talking about Canada. They're burning churches in Canada. Yes. We thought that was the headline. It turns out it goes 1,000 times deeper than that. And we're going to get into that in a minute with Graham Kay, who will be here in just a second. But before that, Kaplan, people love this show, and if people want us, people tell us they like it. They stop us in the middle of the street. I got stopped on Madison Avenue the other day. They said, "Hey, wait, are you?" They recognized my voice. I was yelling at a hot dog vendor, and they said, "Is that the voice from the Lost in America podcast?"
Were you yelling at the hot dog vendor? I'm like, I want them smaller. I want little ones.
I want bigger, more hot dogs. Who wants less hot dogs? Oh yeah, you like small hot dogs. No. Anyway, he loved it, and I said, "Are you a Patreon subscriber?" He said, "What's Patreon?" And I said, "Oh my gosh!" So I'm going to tell you what I told him. Patreon.com/Lost in America for $5 a month. You get three extra episodes of Kaplan and I every single week doing our Live from the Bunker Full Throttle comedy podcast. And we have new subscribers this week, Cap. So we got to give a shout out to them. Shout out to, Sean O'Connor was a few weeks ago, but I don't think we shouted him out on here, did we?
We didn't shout him out on the big show. I think we shouted him out on the Patreon. So yeah,
he joined 3 weeks ago. This week, we got the great Weatherman Keefe. He just goes by the name Weatherman Keefe. I don't know.
Legendary Weatherman Keefe.
Professional wrestler / weatherman from the Midwest. Weatherman Keefe joined the show. And our old friend Will Prechuck, he was a $10 a month subscriber. He went up to $20 a month.
Wow. Thank you, Will. And you know what that means? He gets an advertisement now once a month. We're going to read something that he writes.
He gets his own ad on this show once a month. Whatever he wants us to say for a minute. Dennis Owens has already sent in his advertisement. We're holding it for, he said, hold it for the July 23rd third episode. All I will tell you, he wants one that week because he wants to promote his favorite TV show.
He's like doing PR, like it's coming out that week. So he wants to get the buzz.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just a show he likes.
He doesn't work for the show. He's not hired as a publicist.
But he wants to spend his advertising dollars.
Brother's not the writer of the show. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
And does he know what he's doing for August yet? Is he promoting?
He does. Yeah. He wants us to promote his favorite NFL football team.
So he's storyboarded out the whole season.
We have the whole season.
Plugs. That's good. Yeah, so year. You guys got to get in. If you want to book weeks, Dennis Owens has taken up all the hot weeks already. So
he really
does. We've already marked him in. So if you get to $20 now and let us know your week, and we'll hold it for you.
I mean, ideally, we have hundreds of people paying us $20 a month, and this show just becomes 1 hour long advertisement for all the things that our listeners.
It's an hour of us reading up advertisements for favorite TV shows, proposals to girlfriends, people you don't like, anything you want for a minute, we'll say.
It would be amazing if someone asked us to. They want this is the way they propose to their wife. Is through us.
It's better than a lame baseball game or something.
That's true.
It's so embarrassing. This would be, we would do it with style. We basically, it's like a cameo. We're like doing an online cameo for you. So
yes. Now let's get to today's episode, Kaplan. Okay.
What do we got?
So this one is rough. I'm just going to say that. Here's what's happening. So we read into it. It looks like the headline we saw is they're burning churches in Canada.
Like I said, they're burning churches.
They're burning. And it's like
Bronx is burning.
The headline was written like if we all just look north, we could see the flames.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, everybody heads up, they're burning churches in Canada. And so I thought, when you hear that, you go, that's no good. That seems bad.
That's not good to burn churches.
On the surface.
I'm going to go on record with that.
It turns out the reason why people are burning churches is much, much worse, in my opinion, than the burning of the churches. And it's the indigenous First Nations is what they call.
That's what they call them in Canada.
We call them Native Americans down here. We're talking about Canada this episode. So First Nations is what we will be referring to them as, because that's what they refer to themselves as in Canada. First Nations people they set up schools about 100 years ago for First Nations people. The Canadian government did. Very nice of them, except for the fact that these schools were meant to indoctrinate them into Western culture, change their way of thinking, change their language, change their dress, change everything. And what they found recently is that, there was deaths along the way of these children at these schools, and a lot of them. And now they're finding these mass graves of children. Oh, and the schools were run by either the Catholic Church or different Protestant churches around the country.
Yeah, and they found like a grave of about 215, I believe is the number, recently in May.
That's the one that kicked it off.
That's what got it going. And then on Canada Day, they burned about 10 churches, I believe I read. And they really kicked into high gear, which, you know, we'll get into that. I don't even know what Canada Day is, but we'll get to that later.
Kaplan needs a refresher on Canada Day. I understand that it's the National Day of Canada. It doesn't seem to take a lot of explanation for me. But if I could be wrong as well. So anyway, that's what we know. What I don't understand is what does Canada do about this? What does any government do about this? And the more I read about it, I realized we had all these schools too in the United States. We haven't even brought this up yet here.
Yeah,
this hasn't even become
so many terrible things to Native Americans here that the schools are like lower on the list here.
I don't know. Maybe it's just we have to. I have no idea. We're preoccupied with other things. I'm not sure, but I want to learn about Canada so we can. Essentially, I'm thinking most of what they've done, we've probably done as well.
You want to know if your church will be burning soon.
I want to know if my church will be burning soon. That's exactly it. Graham K, you is a fantastic comedian. He was picked. I read this. I did my own research. Breakout artist of the year 2013 for Canada.
Wow.
I broke out, man.
Artist of the year.
Big guy.
You're like this includes visual artists. This includes painters.
You're like the Beyonce.
At the Canadian Comedy Awards. So I'm a comedy specific artist. Broke out.
You broke out. You left Canada. You broke out.
The host
just in general.
Of the Edge Lords podcast, which all of you should subscribe to right now. We know you listen to podcasts. We know you're the target market for podcasts. You're listening to us. So listen to the Edge Lords podcast. Him and another fantastic comedian, Robbie Slowick, host it. They find out how edgy you are.
Yes.
And also, he was just on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Ooh, a little show very called The Tonight Show.
You may have heard of
Broke out onto that show.
Graham K., welcome to the show, sir. How are you doing?
Thanks so much. Yeah, yeah. Edgelords is a fake edgy podcast. We're just making fun of edgy people.
Edgy people are the worst.
Yep.
Should we start with them?
Yeah, they fucking stink.
It's the worst type. It's my least favorite kind of comedy. And I don't mind saying this publicly. I've said it publicly many times that it's what I don't like about edgy comedy is that edgy comedy hates woke comedy, right?
Yes.
But woke comedy is the other side of the coin of edgy comedy.
They're both self-serious.
You're both pandering to whatever your side is.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, and it's like a lot of edgy comedy is like, I don't like woke comedy because it's too political, but you're also political. You're just on the other side
that's
of political.
Right.
How about we just be funny? Is that it? Yeah. Is that it's still an option?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show.
It's not.
Answer is no.
The thing is, people don't want, they don't care. The people just want, the people are lonely and isolated.
Mm.
And they just want to be part of a community and they want to follow. So if you're a very confident asshole,
yes,
you can get lonely, usually men, to follow you.
By the way, these people can become very successful doing this.
The most successful podcasts are those.
It's so depressing. Yeah.
We're not confident men. That's why we can't get lonely assholes to follow us.
I'm not.
We need more. Patreon,
it's so depressing. Those are the biggest podcasts.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And these people sell out. I mean, we're, you know, we're the world's smartest podcast.
That's not getting, that's not,
we're not edgy enough.
Mike didn't know what Canada Day was.
Oh, yeah. Let's start.
That's how edgy I am.
No, so you said the smartest podcast.
Yes.
It's called Canada Day.
I do most of the heavy lifting around here.
It is so literal. We know that no one else knows about us. So we just make everything easy to read and understand. Canada Day.
Right. But is it the day you were independence from England or is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Essentially, yes.
I thought there was more to it. I just assumed.
They signed a contract.
Was more, yeah.
There was a board meeting in 1987. They signed a piece of paper.
Well, 1867. We waited a century after you. We were like, look, we don't want to fight a war. Can we just wait and then you let us go? And then they're like, yeah, put our queen on your money. And we're like, fine, I don't care. Fine.
That's the only.
So no one has to die. We just put your stupid lady on our.
So if we didn't have the Revolutionary War, if we didn't fight all that stuff we learned about in school growing up in America, we would have become free eventually, is what you're saying, without losing any lives, like 100 years later.
Yeah.
So we fought for money, for the picture of someone on money. We had millions of deaths.
Yeah.
So that we could have our own
George Washington,
on our money.
Harry Tubman on money. Yeah. That's so, what we're fighting for.
You're so dramatic.
We are.
Just relax.
I've always said every holiday in America, it's either we started a war, we ended a war, Jesus was born, Jesus died.
Yeah.
Or, and then we have.
I love how the like, that's your holiday. Americans have asked me if I have Christmas in Canada.
Yeah.
Holiday. What an American thing to say. Our holiday.
Well, Jesus was born in upstate New York. I'm, you know, I'm Mormon. So
is that true? Is that what
no,
Mormons
I'm not.
Believe?
I'm Presbyterian.
No, Mormons do believe. No, he visited there. He wasn't born there, right?
The Mormons believe that Jesus visited upstate New York.
I think they believe he was born in upstate. Jesus is American, isn't he?
No, I think he came to upstate New York. I don't think he was born there. That would be crazy.
Okay.
Calm down.
Are you sure?
I don't know. You think I'm an expert? I didn't know what Canada is. You're asking me about Mormons?
I know more about Mormons than you do. I grew up with them. All right. Well, prove me wrong. I'm gonna die on this hill. They believe he was born in upstate New York, and then I'm happy to be proven wrong. Let's get to Canada. Graham, so what did we get right so far with this story besides Kaplan not knowing what Canada Day was? And what did we get wrong?
Well, you got right that there, people were burning down churches in anger for the murder of children.
Yeah.
So basically what happened was there's like, they found that what you got wrong is that it was just 250. It's into the thousands now. They keep finding new mass graves.
Right. I made the most recent one. Yeah.
Yeah. In like churches around Canada, usually, all over Canada, but usually in the rural areas. And, they have, so these residential schools went all the way up until 1996, trying to indoctrinate, the First Nations people. And they basically stole them from their parents, like just kidnapped them. And then and they abused them. There's a lot of abuse there, a lot of physical abuse, some sexual abuse. And a lot of kids, thousands apparently didn't survive, and they tried to cover it up. And for, 100 years, I don't understand this outrage, is because the native people were always like, our kids have disappeared.
Yeah.
And then we were like, they're probably in the city wearing blue jeans.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know that they're my son. We loved each other, I'm pretty sure. And no, they're wearing blue jeans.
Yeah, they and now fell in love with a rock graves, and roll band.
Found the graves, and that they were covered up by these churches. And by the way, these schools were also government funded, so they were run by these religious schools, but they got a lot of money from the government to do so. So the government is also very much complicit in this. So people are really pissed off. And then I think it's around 10 churches were burnt. One of them was a Vietnamese church.
Oh,
that's the wrong
I don't know that. I don't know if they had too much to do with it. But.
Yeah.
Well, it's clearly 20-something white people.
Right. That's what I was going to ask. Like, who's burning it?
Who are like who are like
Antifa of Canada kind of thing.
Yeah, like super like trying to be woke, like fuck the, and like Cantifa. They don't understand that they're just making it worse for the native people, because native people would never do it, because they're like, oh, this is gonna make our lives harder.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're that's going what to, I was this, wondering. So they're not burning like, it.
More racism, more because it's not. It's so we don't have. We have black people in Canada, but we don't have former slaves. I mean, we might have some, but we don't, they're not our right. former slaves.
You didn't have slavery. Yeah.
So we did for a very brief period, but it stopped like 100 years before you guys did. And we have the Underground Railroad, where they don't teach you in your school, is the Underground Railroad ended in Canada. So we have a lot of black Americans on the East Coast. But in terms of like this huge like national guilt, ours falls squarely. Our main focus is what we did to the First Nations people. And I don't even know if we have more per capita, but if you would read than America, it would seem that we have as many Native people as Americans have black people, but we have less. But that's where our focus is, because of this like great, that's our great shame. Whereas you guys have done all the same awful things to First Nations people in America,
but it's lower.
But it's lower on your priority list. And yeah. I used to date a Native American in America, and she was just like, yeah, they did all these horrible things and no one cares here.
Yeah,
no one will talk about it. People still call us Indian. And that's like, you can say that on TV and no one will bat an eye. They, you won't get like canceled or like, it just, you can say Indian. It's crazy. And I am sure that if you do some literal digging in America around churches, around these residential schools, you will find dead bodies of murdered children. But no one cares.
I think you're right. I mean, I just did like 20 minutes of research after I was researching this morning, this story about Canada, and your logical question, the logical next step is like, well, we must have done, there must've been something similar here.
We just do what America does 5 years later.
And so, yeah. So we started these schools. Even
murder. We had these schools. I don't know if they were as organized, perhaps, with top down from the
they
government.
They were. Yeah. Sure. It was started. I read all about it this morning. So it was the, in the 1870s, the Canadians started these schools, and it was government funded, but they got you're right, they got the churches to like to carry it out, this idea of indoctrinating the,
because the churches
kids.
Like to convert want to convert
it was
people,
so. Based off of the American system. We had started it before Canada, and Canada went, oh, that's a pretty good idea, we'll do that too. So then I started researching, well, what about the U.S. did we have, are there dead bodies here as well? Turns out that Native children during the Spanish flu, is that, can we say Spanish flu, whatever it was, yeah, what did we call,
we still call it the Spanish 1918 pandemic. I don't
the
know.
1918 pandemic, 5 times more Native kids died than the rest of the population of children in the United States, because they were just like, they were mistreated,
bad ventilated.
Yeah But we haven't even gotten to this yet as an issue.
We've got a lot of problems in our country.
So with Canada, with the churches burning, that's interesting to me. So nothing I've read so far said that it's like probably not native people burning these churches. But do you think they would have a long time ago?
I don't know, but I'm just guessing. I just have a feeling it's probably.
No, I have read. I have read people refer to them, the burning, as like, oh, woke people gone, you know, it's under like, the guise of resistance, they're burning a church.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, which is like, not, it does seem like the way Antifa kind of got onto the BLM movement last summer in America. It's like a way of hijacking a movement for your own.
Yeah.
It doesn't really do any, as you said, it doesn't do them any favors because it makes people in Canada, the average person, react negatively to the movement, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because in those rural areas, you know, where the two cultures butt heads, there's always like some, there's a lot of resentment from white people towards the native people because they like, I've been out there. I've been to Saskatchewan. I've been, and they were like, oh, they're lazy. They get free college, don't have to pay taxes. Look what they've done. They steal. And now like churches burning. It's like, not if you burn their church, they're not going to, it's just going to be more racism towards native people. This is like typical stupid young person thinking, not thinking two steps ahead. Just, I really sometimes don't think that people 22 or under should be able to vote. And I don't think that people over the age of 72 should be able to vote.
That's a good policy.
Yeah.
Or at least
if your brain, if your frontal lobe, it finishes developing after 24, by 24, if your brain isn't finished, and also if your brain is turning to mush, you should not be able to vote.
Or you have to take a test, some sort of like driving test, like not to see how sharp.
Yeah, we have that with driving, don't we? Yeah. Once you get to a certain age, you have to start taking driving tests again. I think they do in California. I don't know.
I mean, my grandfather couldn't see or hear anything, and he was driving all over New Jersey towards 90 years old. So I don't.
Wow. I mean, to put
the
numbers.
Make him take a test?
No, he'd be like, people be honking. He's like, they're always honking at me. I'm like, yes, Grandpa, there's a reason for that.
Enough of the honking.
You're in the middle of the lane.
So to put some numbers behind this, it's there's 150,000 native students over the last 100 years were educated at these schools. Educated, I guess, is the term we're using. But they said there's an estimated this was an old number, between 3,000 and 30,000 deaths of these kids. But I think we've already passed 3,000 just with the number they've found now, right?
Yeah, I'm not up to date on the number, but I know it's in the thousands. And I think the Prime Minister called it genocide recently.
Yeah. So that there was a commission, Truth and Reconciliation Commission, in like 2008. So I guess in 1996, the last of these schools closed, and then in Canada, and then in 2008, the Canadian government officially
apologized
for it and had this like Truth and Reconciliation Commission that recently just founded that this was a genocide.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what do you do next? What do you do about genocide? You know,
I mean, I'm not the one to say, but I will say that burning churches isn't going to help. And I also think that, like, you know, a lot on my Twitter feed, I saw some like woker comedians that I follow in Canada being like, we should cancel Canada Day.
Yeah.
Oh, is that going to help? Is that going to make you feel better? Canceling the whole thing. You know what? Who doesn't want to cancel Canada Day? All the immigrants who are like thriving in Canada. My mother's a refugee. She loves Canada. You know, like it gave her a big opportunity. So there's like a lot of great things about Canada. It's, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's just like, this is like white self-flagellation to try to make yourself feel better. Canceling Canada is not going to bring back those dead kids. Doing something will help the families. doing something. I don't know what that is, but actively doing something, whether it's like reparations or what, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the simple fact that we care, I'm proud of, because America doesn't care.
Yeah.
And so it's like, that's something. Is that not something that is such you proud of? Like the,
I mean, I would say that's the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't do any reparation. I mean, we've given people, we give them like casinos we set up, and like, you know, we set up these areas with tax.
I don't know
free
if
areas.
We set up casinos.
I mean, the government, the United States government says you could have
less than half casinos.
That's they do, less they than have themselves. Casinos.
I know, but
it's
they
their own
them,
land. It's the land that they, it's also their right. land is not considered tax, part of the United States. So then therefore you can't, they found a loophole as opposed to, we didn't say, hey, here's a good idea
well,
for
they,
you.
Well,
casinos.
No, they let it. Well, okay, maybe. But I'm saying is we don't
they,
do
they, not, no, maybe that's it. That's the truth.
There's a tax. Well, that we, okay. Well, we said we're not going to tax this land, I guess. I don't know the details. What I'm saying is like, we haven't done the reparations thing at all to my true. Knowledge. Right. And what true. You said they do free college, free, right. Is that what you said earlier?
Me?
No, I'm Graham for natives.
Free, there's like, I don't know the specifics, but I you can get free university, and I think that you don't the tax your tax bracket is way different if you're native. I think it's almost nothing, but yeah, I don't know. Again, I don't know the specifics on that, right. Yeah. But I know that they pay like way less taxes, sometimes none across the board.
Well, the thing about genocide mm-hmm. is that usually then there's a trial, right?
Right.
Some type of
those people. I'm sure that somebody who did something is still alive.
Yes. Well, it didn't end until 1996. So yeah. I'm sure like you can still find Nazis now. There's like. There's Nazis on Long Island that they've tracked down in the last couple of years and put them in like 101-year-old guys couple. That they take and put them in jail, you know? Right. And so
I can read up on that. I love that shit.
It's Nazi yeah. Hunter.
There was a guy in Ohio, the most recent one. Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of. Maybe Ohio. Ohio. Oh, no, it's Hitler's grandkids live on Long Island, right?
Yes.
But there was the Hitler guy in Ohio, family. That whole, yeah.
I think, yeah, they changed their
name. They finally, I think, got them all or most of them. But yeah, that's
they've the gotten your most point of is, them.
This was going on for over 100 years. So, up to 96 is and they only a few people, not that many people have paid consequences, right? So
yeah,
someone's
so like
gotta pay. Yeah. Someone's got to pay.
So my question is that Trudeau talks a pretty good game of like the basics, which is like, oh, we apologize. Yeah, we feel really bad about this and we're looking into it and we're gonna do something. Now I did see that they've given over $3 billion to, there's 80,000 families or 80,000 people who they've identified who are still alive, who went to these schools, natives, right? And they found 28,000 of them and given them a total of $3 billion, which is like, that's not bad, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I read that through Vice. I don't know if Vice knows what they're talking about.
Vice
I mean,
is sort of real news.
Does that seem like a totally new fact to you? That's what I wanted to ask, because this-
Yes, but I also- I mean, I know you're interviewing me about this, and so
no, I know.
Probably
well, we're talking
know.
To you because it's Canada. We want to talk more yeah. about Canada and less
we'll
about.
But I am out of it. I've been living in New York. I've been living in America, off and on for the past 13 years. So yeah. like, I'm like out of it.
Well, that's why we thought this could be more of a discussion.
I even say I'm saying out like you right now.
yeah, yeah, you're not new to it.
Break out.
Break out. I should say out.
How would you say it before?
I just said it out.
I think you still sound Canadian.
How do you say it now?
You sound authentic.
Out.
Oh, that American. Is a difference.
Yeah. Oh. Americans say a.
Out.
A-U-W. No, A-A-A-U-E-T.
Three A's.
Out.
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 Out, bro.
Like a D on the end. Out.
Well, just really focus on your accent today for us. So for us.
Yeah, sorry. All right. Jeez, I'm sorry.
There you go.
So is there, I mean, frankly, like the issue with all this stuff with native in the United States as well, obviously, I don't know. There's been reports that we've killed 100 million people. I don't know if that's possible. If that, like the biggest genocide in the world is the United States against the Native Americans. Have you heard that?
Well, it would be all of the New World, which would incorporate Canada.
Yeah, I guess that's probably
true. Those tribes didn't know about the border back then.
So if we all agree that's genocide, then when there's genocide, there's like a...
It might not be 100. I mean, you can't... I think that number has a lot to do with the diseases we brought over, isn't it?
Yeah,
probably.
It's not at all.
It's not 100 million people that were shot in the head. It was like diseases.
We brought over some good diseases.
Yeah.
It's a combination.
Smallpox and all that. We were good. So yeah, we're not... Don't give us 100 million.
Mm-hmm. But there are a heck of a lot more people than they say only like 10% of the natives survived the diseases. And explorers would go, like white explorers would go west, and then they would find these cities and villages that had been abandoned for like 80 years, 50 years. Because all the people 50 years ago, like a pebble dropping in the water, the disease rippled out and it went ahead of the explorers. And then 50 years later, the explorers caught up to where the disease rippled out and everyone was dead.
Wow.
So it's like only like 10% of people.
The people didn't eat a bat or something. No, you're talking about we actually were responsible. All right. Well, that's
Is there any talk at all about that you've heard about like going to trial or taking like, because so I guess like all the Protestant churches apologized in the 90s. The Catholic Church has still not apologized. And that's why a lot of the, I don't know, that's the connection they're making. That's why a lot of these churches that are getting, whether it's Antifa or whoever it is, the reason why they're getting bombed is because the Catholic Church hasn't apologized. That's like the distinction they're making.
Right.
Although apology or no apology, I mean, it's still pretty obvious.
Well, the First Nation chief I read said the Pope is not welcome in Canada, even if he apologizes, basically. So, I mean, I don't know.
Hell yeah.
Just a word. It's just words, really.
Well, the Catholic Church is a criminal organization. I think that's pretty clear. You know.
I didn't say it.
There's criminal activity that has gone on for a very long time within the Catholic Church. I think you can say that without that being controversial in any way. Mm. And I went to Catholic high school.
Mm.
And
I did too. I got sent to a Catholic high school.
Oh yeah.
Two years.
How'd you like it?
I hated it.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I really hated it. I had a good time.
No, I hated it.
There's good people on both sides, I guess.
Yeah.
No, I just did. I had a good experience. I was supposed to lie and say I didn't have a good
No, you should not lie. You should definitely not lie.
What was, was it all boys school?
It was, it was 300 boys and 50 girls.
Mm, that's a problem.
Yep.
Better to be all boys than have that ratio.
I was going to say, mine was all boys, and that feels more normal.
Yeah. It was a hockey, it was like a sports, it was like a boot camp sports school kind of thing. It was like,
whoa.
We'll get your anger out in sports, and a lot of people went there to take advantage of that, and so I mean a lot of those women were gay, like disproportionate than regular population.
Okay,
I would say like 25 to 30 of those girls were gay, so they didn't give a shit about us, and
How was prom?
That's a real awkward prom.
I had a good looking prom date. And
that's a real mark of accomplishment.
One out of 25, you got one of the 25
choices, and they can't all be good looking.
No, 25 through grades 9 to 12. I guess you could invite a younger woman to prom. So I think there was only like 10 girls in my graduating class.
And there were how many boys you're talking about? 300 divided by 4, like 100.
Probably 75.
75 to 10 ratio.
Were you already a professional comedian at this point?
Here's a breakout. Prom
star.
You graduated high school in 2014, was a breakout artist in 2013.
What's crazy to look back at that time and think that I was legally allowed to vote is insane.
How totally. That's such a good point.
Yeah.
Is it 18 in Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I might have been like 19. But it was
so
weird.
What did everyone else do? That you just had to, you brought a girl from a different town?
No. Oh, the other one, a lot of guys just like went together.
Oh, really?
Just didn't have a prom date. I'm thinking of graduating like graduating with a date. I don't know. It was like a thing out there.
You graduated with it as a couple?
No. You could graduate if you didn't find a date. Survival of the fittest.
That actually should be the rule. That's a real life skill.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to
get one of those gay hockey player girls to agree to be your date for.
So I think we had to like, it was like the prom and graduation were the same thing.
Wow, Canada's wild.
No, well, so, that's just, we don't, this was a thing that was, I went to a hockey school in Saskatchewan. I'm from Ottawa, which is a city of a million people. And I grew up downtown. And then I got sent to this small town, like boot camp in Saskatchewan.
Is that because you were like a bad kid? Like our parents sent us to the military?
Kind of, yeah. I was.
In Canada, they send you to play hockey?
We're going to send you to a hockey school with no girls if you don't shape up.
Yeah, it's a weird, like, no one in, it's a weird school. No one in Canada knows about it. Like, well, the hockey community knows about it.
Yeah.
Does it produce great hockey players? Has there been any famous?
Yeah, there's been a few famous ones.
There you go. Yarmer Yager.
Focus on your hockey.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been a few famous ones. But, it was a weird school. Everything was backwards there. I don't try and understand it.
Graham, can I say to you that one time in conversation, not on the air, we were just hanging out. I said that I thought you were from Saskatchewan and you acted like I thought you were from like Japan. Do you remember this? You were like
from
Saskatchewan.
I'm from Ottawa. There.
Yeah, but you never brought up this fact that you went to high school there.
I just left it at that.
I left in shame.
Turner picked up a few things in the Saskatchewan accent.
So what you're saying is you remembered an earlier conversation that we had where I had said I had went to high school in Saskatchewan, but you remembered a snippet and then like 2 years later, you're like, weren't you from Saskatchewan? And then I went nuts. Right.
Yeah. And this was in front of people. This is in public.
I'm an idiot. I'm a bad guy. I honestly didn't put that together at the time. I don't think. And just was like Saskatchewan. I'm not a bright man.
No, it was hilarious.
I apologize.
Your frontal lobe wasn't completely intact. It wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I have been at that time. I was probably around 37, 38.
Oh, no excuse. That.
I think
prime.
It was six months ago.
Yeah. I attack my frontal lobe. I poison it about 2 to 3 times a week with alcohol. So. Mm.
You fly off the handle a few times.
Guys, we got to take, we blasted through our ad break here. We got to cap.
Oh my God, the sponsors are going to kill us.
The sponsors are going to be very upset. We don't know who our sponsors are until it gets dropped in, Graham, but we love all of them. Sometimes it's like a mountain range in like Vermont or something. It can be anywhere. So the World's Smartest Podcast Network, Kaplan.
Yes.
That's us. That is the Andrea Jones Roy at the Ask a Political Scientist podcast. That is Professor Andrew Heaton at the Political Orphanage podcast and us, Lost in America. On July 31st, we will be doing a live show. Get tickets at lostinamericapod.com for that. All of us will be doing stand up. You will be doing stand up comedy. Graham, Kaplan does stand up once every 18 months.
Yeah.
And this will be his third time. It's all three shows have been at Stand Up New York, correct?
I'm going to open up by asking if the crowd knows what Canada Day is.
Yeah.
Go from there. That's fine.
And his family comes out. So it's a good time. The whole Kaplan crew, Dr. Bob Kaplan.
Although my aunt and uncle are going to be away. They're usually some of my top laughers.
I was going to say, you have a home field advantage because it's a lot of like, oh, my kid yesterday.
My uncle's
did
a good
this.
Laugher.
And then everyone knows his kid. So they laugh.
Yeah, that's going to be a real problem. So I might have to hire some extras who laugh like the way the 4th of July celebrations, they hire people to cheer for the TV cameras here.
Yeah, so that's a good idea. Pay people to come laugh.
They're going to dress with like they're going to wear my gear, like the patriotic.
I mean, that's almost what bringers are in New York, except you're not paying them, though. You're taking it a step further.
Yeah. Bringers are annoyed.
They let you on stage. A bringer is when they let you on stage at a comedy club if you bring 10 people or 20 people or something. Yours is a step further. Yours is you're paying for them to come.
I'm paying for them to cheer. They better come and they better laugh.
Oh, that's
cheer.
True.
After each joke.
Cheer.
Yeah, they don't get in unless they laugh properly.
They're doing the wave
in
the comedy club.
And if
so,
go-
yeah, you pay them. You probably should pay them after.
I'll pay them after. Exactly. We'll see how my review, how I do. If I do great, I'll be handing out lots of money, lots of cash. So if you want to be my bringer, you can audition. Send us an email at lostamericapod@gmail. Send me an audition tape of you laughing.
All right.
At a bad joke.
Now a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back, Graham. I want to get into the Tonight Show. How is it doing, the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon?
It was very fun. Very nice guy. Came to my dressing room before, said hello, made me feel less nervous. Great guy. I got it. I've been close to getting it for a few years now. And, you know, things kept falling through, you know, so somebody got fired and then who liked me over there. And then also, yeah, I was supposed to do it in the, and then the pandemic happened.
Oh boy.
And then, I got a call. I got a text like 3 days before I was supposed to do it, 4 days before, from the booker. And he's like, are you gonna be in New York on Monday? I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, we're rappers, Gucci Mane and Pusha T were supposed to be on, but Pusha T just killed two people. So we need a replacement.
Really?
And I was like, okay. And so I got to do the Tonight Show. But what that means is for me to finally achieve my life goal,
two people
had to die.
If it was one, they would have let them still perform, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pusheisty. Wow. I've never even heard of Pusheisty. I probably will now that he's killed a couple people.
Apparently he's very good. He's part of the, I think it's called drill music.
Mm. But it's the whole genre I've never heard of.
Was the whole crowd people who already bought tickets knowing he was going to be performing?
It was a Pusheisty.
And then they
audience.
Just booed when you came on instead.
Yes. That's what happened. If you watch my Tonight Show, you can hear there's about 15 people in the audience booing.
It's the first ever.
This isn't drill music. We love drill. You can hear that if you listen.
You're very similar. So, yeah.
So a few years.
Hooray for drill music.
Natural replacement.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Is that how it works? That you're telling me that because I've never even got to step one, I'm still a few years away from getting on television. Is it a few year process?
For me, it was. I think for most people, it's less of a rigmarole, but whatever. I did it.
And then Fallon sits behind you and he laughs at your jokes. It's great. I saw it.
Yeah, it's nice.
He loved it. I mean, isn't that nice, though, that the person's...
It's nice.
How would... And you don't have to answer this, or you can answer this politically if you want to, however you want. But you were also on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. How would you compare the two?
Well, the Jimmy Fallon was a way better experience because he was there. Colbert for stand-up. Colbert was never a stand-up. Fallon did like a little bit of stand-up too. So he like respects the art form a little more, I feel. Colbert, I love working with the staff. I'm so grateful for being on that show. And I'm a fan of Colbert. It's just that he pre-tapes the stand-up so he doesn't have to be there. So you never meet him. You tape your stand-up. They get like five stand-up comedians to do it all back-to-back in one day in front of an audience who comes into the theater to see a show. And they get free tickets to see another real Stephen Colbert show. And they get free food. So that's why they want to come.
Do they think they're seeing Stephen Colbert and then they're seeing
you
guys?
No, they get the deal. They go, you come see the stand-up showcase, but then you get like, we're going to give you lunch and you're going to be first in line to see another Stephen Colbert show.
I see.
Like a real one.
I thought they were like, Stephen Colbert shot two people today. So instead you're getting.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, you tape it and then you're like, that's done. And then you realize, oh, well, you don't know. They don't let you know when you're going to air. They like tell you like 24 hours, 48 hours before you air, but it could literally be 2 months after you tape.
Okay. Cause they got to do cause they're taping five people.
So yeah. And they don't have a comedian every night. They have a comedian like twice a month, once a month.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
And so with Fallon, are you on like the next day or you're on that day?
You're on that day. That's true.
You're on that day. They tape at 5 and then it's live to tape. That's how they do late night.
Yeah.
And then they
they air it that night. So that's why all the jokes or the, you know, for like his monologue or whatever are relevant.
That makes sense.
So, yeah. So it's like, yeah, you do it. And then unless you really do poorly, you're going to see yourself on TV that night. It's awesome.
And then, yeah, really bad if you're not on that night.
I was going to say, who does it? That happens? I guess if you just totally.
Kaplan, bomb. We should start doing this. We should have guests on, but we're not here.
Yeah.
We pre-tape our questions.
Pre-tape our questions.
You just talk into the void.
Yeah. It's a great idea. This is so much work for me as well.
We could take off and go do something else.
Maybe we'll do that for our live show. I'll tape my set and I'll just mail.
Oh, yeah. We'll show a video of you doing.
I'll be less nervous that way.
That's a good idea. What about the audience at Fallon? Does he like, does anyone warm them up for you, or is it just the show goes bang, 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 bang in real time?
The show goes bang, bang, bang in real time, but they have a warm up comic that comes out before and warms them up.
The very beginning of the show before the whole show starts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going up. I mean, it's the Tonight Show. So he's on the couch talking to like Nicki Minaj or something.
Yeah, and who was
like,
you're on
in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think more like you're on in like five, because then they got to like reset and commercial. Nicki Minaj has to get up and walk away.
Did I get that right? Was it Nicki Minaj?
No, it was Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, that's not bad.
Good show.
Yes, but it's still pandemic time, so she zoomed in.
That's okay. A bummer.
But the audience was unmasked and full, 100% capacity.
Great.
That's great.
First time in a year and a half.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were at the first show? The first Tonight Show that had that,
yeah.
Oh, there you go.
So there were a hot crowd.
Hot crowd, exactly.
The closest I ever got to this was I did one episode of Kennedy, and sitting next to me was Meghan McCain about 4 years before she was famous. I didn't know who she was at the time.
What's Kennedy?
It's a show. It was a show on Fox Business, right?
Fox Business. It's like a round table. Do you remember Red Eye?
Yes.
Okay. It was a version of that, but a little, they only had one comedian. And then the other people were like a journalist and Meghan McCain.
But you know who Kennedy is from the MTV VJ days, or you didn't have her in?
They had much music in Canada. They didn't have that.
She's not a big celebrity to him.
She was a VJ in the 90s. Like, she'd be like, and the next song is by, I don't know, Three Doors Down.
Stank.
Yeah. Actually, there was a song in the 90s written about her. We're way off topic now. But do you know the Goo Goo Dolls?
Yes.
And I won't tell them your name. Doo-doo-doo-doo.
That's about her?
That's about her.
That's a great little nugget. A little blowhard there.
Little blowharding. Back to this show. How about we do that? I don't know. Where do we even like? I don't know what the solution is here. You know.
I mean, we're not going to come up with a solution. You're saying the three of us?
No, but it seems like no one is my point. Yeah. I don't see the Canadian government coming up with one outside of sending all these people to The Hague. Outside of like, are you really going to send all these priests and nuns? I say yes, but I don't think it's going to happen. Right.
Yeah.
I think that it's probably not going to happen, but I don't know. There is a huge groundswell. It's just like people really care, so something might happen.
You think so?
Yeah.
Is this a bigger story than whatever you said in the past? I don't know if this was on air or off air, but you said like natives have been saying this and no one's just believed them in the past.
When you find a bunch of dead babies, you know it.
Yeah.
It's like that Syrian. A child that drowned and found washed on shore, and then they took a picture of him, and then like everyone was like, these babies are dying, and everyone's like, okay, and then they saw the picture and everyone cared.
And you it's not even just the dead baby. I was reading a few months ago about how like the suicide rates are much higher among First Nation, like the Inuit and some other, just from this, they think from this like changing of the culture and like being indoctrinated and this whole.
It's like you grew up like extremely poor,
yeah,
and you don't have a lot of the advantages that other people are afforded in that country, and you have like sometimes you don't have like access to clean drinking water.
Right, that's another issue I was reading about too. Yeah, they still and have that as an issue.
Like abject poverty, and then what happens is when you take away the family structure is so important, and when you break that up,
it's like it can last that it can last 100 years. It can screw up that group of people for 100 years.
Right.
So it's like when you take them away from their parents, and then there's like the whole thing is messed up, and then there's like alcoholism and blah 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 blah, blah and. Yeah.
Well, people have a culture that they've had for like thousands of years or whatever, you know, like that's embedded in the way that, you know, that they would work. And then it's just changing it and forcing you to live like Western.
Mm. And also, people who are native are more susceptible genetically to become alcoholics. Like and they have a lower tolerance. Mm. And it's like the diseases. There was no like Africans and Europeans and Asian people have been building up a tolerance to alcohol for thousands of years.
And we brought it over.
Genetically, it's just like, bam, you know? And so it's a lot of issues.
Yeah. What's the deal with Trudeau? Like, how much time does he have left? Or can you just go forever as prime minister?
You can't, I don't. You used to be able to go forever.
Really?
I think you still can.
His dad was in power a while, right?
His dad was in power from like the late 60s to the early 80s.
It seems like Trudeau's been around a while now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he still popular?
Well, he didn't even have a majority government last time. He's always been like a very mixed bag. He's always been he's the best we got. At least he's a good guy, but he's kind of like average intelligence. He's not anything. He's not. His dad was for all his dad's faults. His dad was a superior intellect.
Well, yeah. His nepotism, like, you know, that's like the Bushes or anybody else where it's like, if you came to power.
If we elected Beto as our president, right?
Yeah.
Well, people love Trudeau.
It's actually a pretty good comparison.
If Beto O'Rourke had somehow won presidency,
he's a good guy, but he's charming.
He's like good looking.
Say the wrong thing. You're like, and like the West, which is like our South, hates him. You know.
Yeah.
The miners don't like him. On the oil rigs.
Well, like, you got to accept it. Like, is Canada like the U.S. where like half the country's going to hate you no matter what at this point?
Not necessarily half, but
okay.
You could get 3/4 to like you or 3/5 to like
you.
I think that's definitely in the realm of possibility. If you were a really good prime minister and got stuff done and didn't. The Trudeau name is such baggage for the West. They hate the Trudeau name because of the dad.
Okay.
So.
Was the dad pretty far left as well?
The dad made the West share their oil money to the rest of Canada.
And they didn't like that. Yeah.
And at one point he was leaving on a train to go from like, I don't know, to go from like Calgary to some other city, or it might have been Edmonton, I think Calgary to some other city. And they were like throwing stuff at his train car and his family was in there and he just stuck his finger out and gave him the middle finger and was like, pictures were like,
imagine
everywhere.
If an American president did that.
President. Yeah. I'm surprised Trump didn't do that at some point.
Yeah. Trump never did that. Wow. Yeah. It's a bar he did.
Honestly, Trudeau, like Pierre Trudeau was his name. The guy was an absolute G. He got into office single. He dated supermodels. When he was elected, teenage girls, young women would chase him and throw their underwear at him.
Wow.
And he used to drive a convertible, and he used to dress like a pimp. He'd have like a cape and a big hat.
While he was a prime minister.
And he dated Barbara Streisand in like the late 60s, early 70s. While he was in office, he was dating Barbara Streisand.
Wow.
And then he ended up marrying some model lady, and that's
Justin's mom.
That's Justin's mom. But she's like a very smart woman too. She's not just a model, but that's definitely a large part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Trump. Justin's been around 2008. He came into office. I just looked it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess
that's that. Actually, yeah, I'm surprised it's been that long, but yeah, makes sense. It's just the, it's the British parliamentary system.
Right. So he's the prime minister. Yeah. So there's no, there's usually not term limits in prime ministers.
I don't think I ever realized that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a problem because you could, you kind of create baggage over the years, you know. With,
well, it's also, you have to, you know, there's, we have so many different parties. So you need, to win enough seats in the House to get a majority and to get stuff pushed through. And there's all these other parties on the left taking seats away. And the more baggage you create, the more these other left-leaning parties take your piece of the pie. And then to the point where he's not a majority government right now, which means he has to ask other political parties for permission to pass bills.
Oh, so his power is less than it used to be.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
So like the Keystone Pipeline is something that we know about. He was in support of that because he needs that, you know, even though he's on the left, he had the Western people, you know, as you're saying, like the oil.
They wanted it. And then the East, which is like a lot of his base, said they didn't want the Keystone Pipeline. Right. And also the natives out west were like, we don't want it also.
But he had.
And then he was like, but our economy needs it. And it's a very like, anyway, it's just a lose-lose for him, that pipeline.
Interesting.
Does he retire? Would he give it up at any point? Would he retire or no? Like
you would either go, I'm stepping down as the leader of the Liberal Party, and then your second in command would become prime minister and until the next election.
Yeah.
But usually you do that like right before an election, and you let your second in command
like a clear path, let them
have enough runway to run a campaign and sell themselves to Canada.
Well, he might want to do it before
other leaders.
I had one other question on Canadian politics. I was going to, this guy, Doug Ford, is the brother. He's the head of Ontario now, right?
Yeah. The premier. So it's basically, it's just like saying the governor.
Right. And his brother was the famous mayor of Toronto, who was like a mess, right?
Yeah.
Who
was, he was great. Like, he would always wear like football jerseys with his own name on the back too.
Yeah. And he'd be like coked up and party. Like he was
on a bunch of drugs and he just, his heart exploded and he died.
But this guy seems like the other, not to make light of that, but this guy's like the opposite, right? Because he seems like he's taking coronavirus. I saw they haven't even opened up the Ontario yet, 3 weeks away. They're like California with coronavirus.
Yeah, they are like California with coronavirus. It's weird. It's a mixed bag. He's definitely like a very conservative, like his brother.
But like responsible more? Because I feel like his brother wouldn't have been taking coronavirus very seriously. I feel like he would have been.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a weird thing that's happening up there with that. It's like the population, like even my mom was like, you know, I didn't like him, but he's doing a great job. And she's a very left-leaning. Nice.
Oh, really?
And then now they're like, he should open it up. This is bullshit. You know, and so they're being overcautious and maybe not handling it well. I don't know.
I mean, everyone seems to be vaccinated up there, and they're like 3 weeks away, I think, from even opening up or something. And so,
yeah, well, they say by the end of July, everyone will have their first shot. 70% of the population will have their first shot.
Oh, that's about the same as here.
Yeah.
Nice.
We should count them in the totals.
Are you going back on the road anytime soon?
I'm going to be at Soul Joe's Comedy Club in Royersford, Pennsylvania on July 17th, Saturday, for one night only. Pwee, 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 pwee.
Nice.
We're huge in Pennsylvania. We'll bring some audience.
We do have South. Sure. That's South Philly.
That's like Philly area.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Our Allentown base.
We got a lot of people down there.
And then, I'm going to be in the Denver Comedy Lounge in August, 20 to 21. Denver.
Nice.
I'm going to be all over, guys. I'm at grahamk.com. Check me out.
Grahamk.com. Thanks for doing the podcast, man.
Thanks for having me. Go, you know, if you want to listen to a stupid podcast where we make fun of edgy people, we have, it's called The Edge Lords.
They probably make fun of us all day long in that podcast since we're so edgy.
Yeah, you guys are
tough
really
targets.
Put my feet to the coals.
It's mostly Kaplan.
Mostly. Yeah.
You guys are great. This podcast is hilarious and it's awesome and it's smart. And thank you for having me on.
Thanks, man. Thanks for doing it. Kaplan. Thanks, Graham. Kaplan, what should we do?
I really got smart this episode, so now I'm going to get lost.
Get lost! We'll be right back.
hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best-kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.